The world's worst Ebola outbreak on record dominated headlines last year.
Thousands of people died in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, and some American politicians considered travel bans and quarantines in the U.S.
The outbreak has faded from the headlines, but the question remains as to how the spread of the virus got out of control in the first place.
In a new documentary, Frontline traces the spread back to its beginning and reports the mistakes that were made along the way. Here with us now is Frontline producer and director of the documentary Outbreak, Dan Edge. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, before we get into the history here, let's look at today, the Ebola outbreak. It's faded from the headlines. Does that mean it's done? It's contained? We don't need to worry about it now?
No, it's far from over. There are still cases in Guinea and Sierra Leone. Still, if we were looking at this outbreak as it is right now compared to all previous Ebola outbreaks, it would be, you know, what is unfolding right now is still the worst in history. Liberia has done really well to get its case count down to zero, but we're still quite a long way from the end, I think.
What are the priorities today in terms of confronting the virus as it stands now?
Right now, the priorities are twofold. They are getting down to zero. And the three countries have done really well in bending the curve, in stopping that rate of acceleration, which made it so horrific last fall. It's definitely moving in the right direction now. But those last few cases, getting it down to zero, are in many ways the most difficult because they're in those communities that are hardest to reach, hardest to educate. That's priority number one. Priority number two, officials, you know, as we made this film, told me time and time again, is looking forward to sort of a post-outbreak world, both in these three countries, but also all over the developing world, and trying to strengthen health systems so that these outbreaks can be spotted quicker. Because a huge reason that this outbreak became the worst in the world's history is because it wasn't spotted quick enough.
And that's the story you tell in the documentary Outbreak. And let's go back to the beginning. Where does the story begin?
The story begins in a small village in the forest region of Guinea, in the jungle, basically. And on Christmas Day in 2013, a 1.5-year-old boy fell sick. And he is thought to be patient zero, the very first case in this outbreak. And I went to that village with my team last year to try and speak to the family and find out more about who infected whom and whether it was spotted or could have been spotted sooner. And when I was there, the children in the village took me by the hand and showed me this tree, a hollow tree, very spooky place, just a few yards from Patient Zero's house. And they told me that they used to hunt bats in that tree. It used to be a roosting place for bats. And, of course, scientists are pretty sure that the animal reservoir for the Ebola virus, where the Ebola virus hides when it's not killing people, is bats. And so the children and the villagers were pretty sure, and some scientists agree, that this tree, this one place, was the origin of all the death and the mayhem and the panic and the fear that we subsequently saw last year.
Now, before doctors and health officials got involved, what was the initial response to the disease from the people it was affecting in that village and then in other areas?
Well, they thought it was a curse. It's a pretty common explanation for unexplained deaths in these villages. These are very remote areas, completely illiterate, very hard to reach in terms of messaging, and hardly anyone has a radio. So they were pretty sure that it was a curse, and they called in a traditional healer. And one of the tragedies of this outbreak, one of the reasons it got out of control so quickly, is the very techniques that traditional healers use to try and heal people and cure communities are in themselves transmitters. You know, there's a lot of touching, a lot of rubbing wounds, and all those techniques actually spread the virus rather than contained it.
Now, are these places that have any kind of regular contact with a doctor or a health official that might have been an early warning indicator if it had been there?
What we found in Guinea and Sierra Leone and Liberia, out in the remote areas, is that there is a health system. It's a very fragile health system. You'll very rarely have any access to a trained doctor, but you'll have a local health representative who has the ability and the authority to distribute some really basic medicine. And that kind of exists alongside the traditional healer system. It's quite fascinating, actually, because sometimes the nurse will refer someone to the traditional healer if he doesn't know what's wrong with them, and the traditional healer will refer them back to the nurse if he can't help them. But the local nurses in this area of Guinea had never heard of Ebola. I mean, the nearest previous outbreak had been thousands of miles away. There's no reason why they would have heard of Ebola. The symptoms look a little similar to cholera or malaria, so it was misidentified, understandably, for quite a long time. In fact, for about 3 months by the sort of health officials on the ground who came into contact with it.
Talking to Dan Edge, producer and director of the documentary Outbreak, a frontline documentary airing tonight. Now, you also talked to one of the first doctors involved investigating this. How did they finally figure out this was Ebola?
Well, it reached a point where it had actually killed a doctor in Guinea, which is a big moment, and that alerted the capital, and the Ministry of Health and the World Health Organization sent in a team to take blood samples. And my producer, Sasha Achille, found the disease detective who went into these villages and took blood samples. And that blood sample was sent off to Paris, and then there was a very, really terrible, dramatic moment when they were informed, against all expectation, that this was Ebola. This was a disease that no one had ever thought could appear in this part of Africa.
So now it's there, and health officials, international groups are starting to meet. And you spoke with a member of Doctors Without Borders who was part of Guinea's early response. He sat in on daily meetings between the government, the World Health Organization. Here's a little clip of what he had to say.
Those daily meetings were a nightmare. Every day, day after day. Disorganized meeting, no decision taken, no one knowing what they were talking about. WHO people were really not at the level required for the job. Their coordinator never worked on Ebola before, and WHO was really downsizing the scale of the epidemic. Immediately I thought, those people are useless. They don't even understand what they're supposed to do here.
So was this a missed opportunity, Dan, at what could have been a turning point if there'd been a more organized, cohesive effort in places like Guinea?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the saga of this epidemic is unfortunately littered with missed opportunities. And the chaos and the lack of coordination that our interviewees described to us in those early days were critical in the virus getting away. This seems to have been a real misunderstanding about who was in charge. Everyone looked for leadership to the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization told me in interviews that's not what they do. They're there to serve the government. So they're to give them advice, and then it's up to the government whether they take that advice or not. And that kind of ambiguity seems to have led to sort of gaps in the response. And Ebola does not forgive gaps in a response. It requires a perfect response.
Talking to officials with the nations, with the World Health Organization, with NGOs, did you hear from anybody, okay, we have learned the lesson we needed to learn, next time we're going to have a more cohesive response?
Yeah, no, I heard that time and time again. You know, if there's one positive thing that can come out of this horrific outbreak, it's that there are lessons that can be learned and applied the next time, because I heard time and time again from officials, the World Health Organization and the CDC, that there will be more of these. There are going to be more of these. The major lessons people wanted to tell us about were, one, strengthening health systems in the developing world, which sounds like, you know, a good moral thing to do, but actually the way it's been explained to me is a sort of practical imperative to do that, because the stronger the health systems in these places, the more likely they are to be able to stop these outbreaks when they start, and the less likely they are to end up on our shores, you know, in the United States and the UK. The other big lesson is that the world wasn't ready, didn't have the capacity to go in and help these countries. There's no big humanitarian health force. And that was, you know, very evidently lacking in August and September last year when there were bodies on the streets of Monrovia.
Dan, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dan Edge. He's producer and director of Frontline's Outbreak, a new documentary. The documentary traces the spread of Ebola in West Africa from its earliest stages and as it spread through three West African countries. It airs tonight at 9. You can see that on your local public television station, and we've got a link to information about it over at the Central Time Facebook page.